Washington State House District 2 joining us. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Walker. How's it going?
Doing good. Doing good. Appreciate you coming on this morning, and wanted to kind of touch on some things that are going on with elections coming up next week. And then we've got, obviously, the big Florida property tax amendment coming at us in November. And this is the, you know, going towards the elimination of a majority of our property tax on homesteaded properties. And it's got to have 60% statewide approval to pass. And this is a for non-homesteaded exemptions as much as $150,000 in 2027, then go up to $250,000 deduction in 2028. So give me the Alex Andrade explanation of, I've got a homestead, a house in Escambia County. What would this actually mean for me at the end of the day?
Well, first, welcome back, Candy. I know it's been like, what, a week, 2 weeks?
I know.
So you're back on.
Yeah, this is my last day here.
So excited.
What?
No, I know. That's okay. No. But I love you guys, but I'll be listening.
Yeah.
Well, I've loved hearing your voice on the radio again the past couple weeks.
It's I love you very much. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Well, so on the property tax amendment, one, even if this passes, no single property in the state will have its property taxes completely eliminated. First, it's not only because the value goes from 150 to 250 and then incrementally increases over time based on inflation. So like, you know, properties valued over 250 plus inflation will still have some amount of property taxes, but also because the school property taxes, the amount the school district levies, is left untouched by the amendment. So that's the first thing. The folks who will see the biggest reduction in their property tax bills would obviously be folks with homesteaded properties. You know, so they could see a relatively significant savings. The folks who will see, increases in their property tax bills are going to be folks who are renters and then folks who own commercial properties. So, if you have any memory of what happened in Santa Rosa County when I and Senator Broxton and Representative Joel Rudman passed these local bills that did away with the property taxes for the fire districts, the elected fire districts in Santa Rosa County, we switched them to square footage for tax collections. Every one of those elected fire districts went to the maximum amount they could possibly collect per square foot. And what that resulted in was their budgets actually going, one fire district in Pace, their anticipated budget when they tried to go to the maximum they could possibly charge per square foot was three times their budget from the year before. So what I would say is anyone who thinks that this will, simply go unchallenged by local governments or unresponded to by local governments is kidding themselves. Local governments have the ability to charge fees. They have the ability to charge taxes other than property taxes.
Right.
And when they respond, if this passes, they won't necessarily be targeting to match even their current budgets. If they have the opportunity, I could see a lot of local governments around the state trying to increase their budget and blame this property tax amendment as the justification for raising taxes on residents. So it might be more of a tax shift than anything else. Folks who don't pay property taxes right now, disabled veterans, folks who are elderly and have certain qualifying conditions, they're not paying any property taxes right now. Whatever the local government response is going to be, they will be paying.
Yeah. That's a good point of, we might see some shifting of how we pay taxes, but we're certainly still going to be paying them. That is for sure. But we'll get traffic on the fives and
sure. And roads are fine. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays. Yep. 90 is clear. Everything's good. 437, 1620. If you see that accident or slowdown.
All right. Perfect.
Sure.
And I know there is a distinction in there as well, Alex. So there's between people who are already Florida residents and have been, and then people who move here after January 1st of 2027, and why is there that distinction in this referendum and bill?
Well, it's essentially it's the same concept as they save our homes. If you're not aware right now, if listener, I know Walker, you're aware of Save Our Homes, but and Candy, but if you are unaware, every year you live in your house, your value of your house, which is what your taxes are based on, can't go up more than 3% if it's homesteaded. And what that means is, I mean, your house most likely over the past 20 years has gone up in value more than 3% on average every year. So what that means is that the value of your house, if you've lived there for 20 years, has been arbitrarily repressed down. Essentially, it says folks who move into the state don't immediately get the benefit of this homestead exemption. Once they've lived here for, I believe, 5 years, they'd get the full benefit of the homestead tax exemption. It's just the same concept. You want to try and incentivize folks to stay in their homes as long as possible. You want to incentivize folks to hold their homes here in Florida, maintain homestead as long as possible. So it's mainly just that type of an incentive.
So, and I know... Also, we just saw a few days ago on August the 5th, Leon County judge ruled that the existing ballot title and summary was misleading. And the Attorney General's office has until Friday to rewrite it. And so what are you hearing anything on that, or was this kind of expected? Was this kind of a little bit of a surprise?
The language... No, the language was misleading. It was an overpromise and underdeliver version of the description of the amendment. Listen, I don't want anybody to think that I oppose reducing or eliminating property taxes. I 1,000% do. I just want everyone going into November to be clear-eyed on the effect of this specific proposal. We already have, Byron Donalds who. You don't have to be clairvoyant and have a crystal ball to strongly believe and understand that on August 18th, he's going to be the Republican nominee for governor. You already have him promising that regardless of what happens on this amendment, we are going to go through this constitutional revision process that we do every 20 years on taxes. We have every 20 years, we stand up a committee that, simply addresses and looks at what constitutionally should we change in our tax system. We're going to continue looking at this regardless if this amendment passes. This amendment just isn't, we didn't send our best. I'll put it that way. I've talked about this on the radio with Andrew before. The proposal on the ballot, the language on the ballot, the attempt, everything was rushed. The Florida legislature tried to spend a year fixing it and preparing it and going through the process of, checking every, box, dotting every I and T. The actual product just wasn't that. It was not the best thought out. We could have done better. And if we don't have some type of plan to control revenue or prevent that type of tax shift that I described, I don't think that this is the best amendment that voters deserve to be voting on.
So before we go, we'll catch commercials here, but and then we'll come back after that. But to kind of tease us up for that, just what's your prediction on, do you think this thing gets to the 60% threshold and passes in November, or do you think it's going to fall short?
Man, there's a lot of noise right now. It's tough to handicap what the percentage is going to be in November. We have this election coming up on August 18th. The narratives and the debate will be very different after we get past this primary. Right now, every Republican candidate is trying to be, more conservative than the next, regardless of what race they're running in. After August 18th, I think you'll see a different discussion about the topic. And all we do know right now is that once voters fully understand the risks of this amendment, it starts to run the risk of going below 60%. Right. So, and that's the threshold it needs to meet to pass. So,
be interesting.
Already have law enforcement. you already have law enforcement coming out to oppose it. So, you know, we'll see what happens in November.
Exactly. All right. We'll catch some commercials and we'll come back and we'll try and predict what else is going to happen next week on Election Day.
My name is Trey McMullen, and I'm running to be your state representative, not Tallahassee's. District 2 isn't just another district. It's an engine. Families, veterans, first responders, teachers, and small businesses are the fuel that keeps it running. But every engine needs a spark plug. That's the role I intend to play. Not powered by PAC money, not directed by special interest. Powered by the people of District 2. My mission isn't just to pass laws. It's to connect veterans with resources, connect employers with workers, connect families with opportunity, and to ensure your voice, not a lobbyist, is heard in Tallahassee. On day one, I'll hit the ground running to deliver real, measurable results. Because District 2 deserves a representative that works for the people, not the PACs. Vote McMullen this Republican primary.
Paid for and approved by Trey McMullen Campaign for Florida House, District 2, Republican.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
So several years ago, my wife and I were planning on replacing our then many years old Dodge Grand Caravan, and we thought we wanted to buy a Honda Odyssey, but as is often our practice, we wanted to test drive one of the type we wanted to buy before we needed to buy it, about 6 months ahead of time, to make sure that when time came to really find the deal we wanted, that we were looking for the right kind of car. Couldn't find one. Nobody had one that we could drive. We found one at Frontier Motors. We called it our unicorn. It actually happened to be the color we wanted as well. But again, we didn't want one for another 6 months. We drove it. We loved it. That's fine. We were getting ready to go. And Calvin, our sales guy, said, "Do you want to look at the price?" I'm like, "Well, fine. Oh, well, that's a good price. Can you come down a little bit?" "Sure." "Can you give us a day?" "Because we're not buying a car." "Sure." We thought about it a day later. "Can you come down just a little bit more?" "Sure." "Can we buy it?" I mean, that's how easy it was for us to buy this car. And again, we just had to because it was such low mileage. It was a year old with like 13,000 miles and the price was fantastic. We had to buy it. It would have been dumb of us to wait because they have great selection. That's what brought us to Frontier and because the process was so easy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. You know, for 55 years...
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability and housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice. Colonel Eric W. Shorter for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter, candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We have got State Representative Alex Andrade on the line with us. Alex, thanks again for calling in. And we were predicting how we thought the statewide property tax referendum would go in November. We've got a bunch of local races that are going on as we speak. Early voting is this week. Election day is next Tuesday, August the 18th. So let's see if you can pull out your crystal ball, be Miss Cleo, and see if we can predict some of these races. So we've got to start with your seat, State Representative, District 2. We've got a Republican primary going on. So what do we think's going on there?
In the Republican primary, to replace me, you have two candidates, John Fay and Trey McMullen. If I were to predict the outcome next week, I'd say it would be in the range of about 60-40 in favor of John Fay. I know the district. I've door knocked the district a ton. Door knocking is not the same as social media or the chatter downtown. Door knocking in that district, it depends on authenticity. And, you got one guy who, like John is a sincere, nice, just a good human being, a great guy. Not to say, too much about Trey, I think anyone who says that they've sworn off PAC money when no PAC money has ever been offered to them, it just doesn't come off authentic to me. It's like me in high school saying, I wouldn't date Heidi Klum.
I
could say that I refuse to date Heidi Klum because she doesn't meet my moral standards when I was in high school, but one would buy it, right? Like, it's the same kind of authenticity argument. Yeah. So.
All right. Well,
I think voters are going to go with the authentic candidate in John Fay, and I think he'll win about 60-40.
Yeah. All right. We got about 30 seconds, so we're going to have to speed through some of these. We've got the mayor's race, which is nonpartisan, so someone could win next Tuesday with 50% plus one. You've got Jasmine Brown, Ann Hill, D.C. Reeves, Eric Shorter, Alicia Trawick, and Jermaine Williams.
I think, I'm more of a partisan primary guy, so it's tougher to handicap. But I think the big question, obviously, is D.C. going to win in August, or will there be a runoff? My guess is I think he'll probably win in August. I think he'll probably win next week. But that one's tougher for me to handicap just because, I'm more of like the conservative primary vote election experience guy, so I don't know.
All right. Does the superintendent stay elected or appointed?
I think it goes back to elected because it's on the primary ballot.
All right. Is it going to be Mike Kohler or Glenn Dorsey in the District 2? Mike Kohler. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that.
He's done a good job.
Thanks, Alex.
It is primary day in six states.
In Wisconsin's race for governor, the Democratic candidates include frontrunner Representative Francesca Hong and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who is now backed by outgoing Governor Tony Evers. Hong could become the first Democratic Socialist governor in the U.S. She's made a lot of headlines for past comments where she called to abolish ICE or cancel Thanksgiving.
Fox's Alex Hogan.
In Minnesota, establishment-backed candidate Representative Angie Craig faces a far more progressive candidate, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
And there are also primaries in Connecticut and Vermont and a special primary election in four Alabama congressional districts after the Supreme Court allowed the state to draw new district maps. Then in South Carolina, 10 Republicans are vying for a chance to run for the late Senator Lindsey Graham's seat, including his sister Darlene. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 75 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning and looking like a nice day. We'll check in with Channel 3, get our forecast in just a couple of minutes. The man injured in a shooting last Friday on Haverway and Medford Avenue has now died. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says that man was originally taken to the hospital after shots were fired between cars in a Pensacola neighborhood with a possible suspect that was taken into custody at that time. Deputies say the investigation into that incident is ongoing. Raleigh Gulf Coast is kicking off Childhood Cancer Awareness Month with Gold Strong Fest, a free community event. It's going to happen August 29th at Sandy Sansing Nissan. The festival runs from 9 until noon, featuring a touch-a-truck experience with local police and fire departments, along with games, crafts, and food. Organizers say their goal is celebrating local childhood cancer warriors while raising awareness for pediatric cancer research. Escambia County Schools open tomorrow. For 31,000 students, district officials have a message for anybody that will be out driving.
Yeah. What I would say is be patient. You know, there'll be a couple hundred buses on the road. Those kids will be on those buses. Let's all be safe. So we're looking forward to Wednesday.
Superintendent Keith Leonard says teachers returned last week. They've been working on lesson plans and classroom preparation. Orientations were recently held at elementary schools to help younger students, particularly kindergartners, get comfortable for their first day. Leonard does say the district is heading into the new year on a high note after earning an A grade for the last school year, with 19 individual schools earning A grades, 16 earning B grades, and 18 earning C grades. Police in Daphne have made two animal cruelty arrests this month after finding neglected dogs. 35-year-old Brandy Heathcoe was arrested on August 4th after two malnourished dogs were found in her apartment, one locked in a kennel in a closed bedroom. 22-year-old Sadie Craps was arrested on August 9th, then on two counts of animal cruelty after dogs in her home were found with severe mange and mites. She also faces a drug possession charge. All of the dogs are now receiving proper veterinary care through Daphne's Animal Control. About 100 divers took part in a major underwater cleanup Sunday beneath the Okaloosa Island Pier. They pulled out nearly 160 pounds of debris in what organizers called the fastest cleanup dive at the pier to date. Divers recovered items ranging from golf balls and fishing gear to a speaker and a tangled fishing line. Volunteers also tackled a shoreline cleanup above the water. Divers said the pier's depth has increased by about 4 feet since Tropical Storm Bertha passed through. It is 6:35 here at News Radio, 92.3. Sun shining, 76 degrees. And let's check in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
And it's brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner. That's Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782. And as we take a look at our roads, we're not showing a whole lot this morning. Berry Hill Road and Spencerfield Road and Milton showing an accident. Doesn't look like it's a roadblock, though. If you see an accident or a slowdown, let us know. 437-1620. Candy with traffic on the fives.
And let's check in with Brooke Richardson, who's got our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a small isolated chance of rain today, 30% chance of a stray shower. Outside of that, mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Wednesday, 20% chance of rain, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Heading into Thursday, 20% chance of rain, mostly sunny skies, high near 93 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
77 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Eli Lilly's Foundayo has won UK approval, becoming Europe's second GLP-1 weight loss pill and its first approval outside the U.S. Foundayo will initially be available privately by prescription, with access dependent on a cost-effectiveness review. Global hotel giant IHG reported a 10% jump in profits as middle-class spenders and the World Cup boosted hotel demand. CEO Ellie Maloof said that wealth growth has led consumers to splurge on experiences over goods. He added that the impact of the Middle East conflict has been offset by positive growth in the U.S., Asia-Pacific, and Europe. Treasury yields moved higher this morning as tensions in the Middle East continue to weigh on energy prices and investors look ahead to inflation data due later this week. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note increased 3 basis points to 4.7334%. Futures are slightly higher as investors hope for a U.S.-Iran peace deal. That's your money now.
That'll be $84.52.
Perfect. Grab the bags, honey.
Mom, why do you always check your phone before we pay?
I'm just claiming my cash back on the Upside app. Since we're getting the groceries here and we filled up the car on the way, I've already earned enough this morning to pay for that pizza night we're having Friday.
Wait, so the app pays for pizza?
Not exactly, but the cash I earn on stuff we need helps us pay for the stuff we want. It's just a little win for our family every week.
Get more out of your everyday. Upside is the free app that gets you cash back on routine purchases like gas, groceries, and dining out at more than 100,000 locations nationwide. No points, no rebates, just cash back straight to your wallet. Download the free Upside app and use promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus on your first purchase. That's promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus. Remember, use promo code ACT5.
Offers vary by user and location at participating merchants. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police. Paid for by DC Reeves for Mayor.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's 9th Avenue Brass Band. This 10-member band has been bringing the true New Orleans style to Pensacola and surrounding areas since 2019. The 9th Avenue Brass Band never fails to bring the second line to the beach. See you there. No pets, no glass.
Hey, we've got kind of a new advertiser on the show. The name is Ace Unlocks, a fantastic company with a terrible, or at least a terribly misleading name. I was talking to Chris Rona, the owner, the other day, and he's like, Andrew, we've been doing this for a long time. We started by opening people's car doors for students who got locked out of their cars on campus at UWF in 1998. Basically, we're running our operation with a 89 4Runner and an 89 Mustang, a pager and a payphone. And they'd page us and we'd call them and come open their car for them. And that was a great business. We didn't think it'd be anything. We thought it'd be a couple a month. It turned out to be about two a day, a very common problem. And we still to this day do it. It used to be $20, now it's $25, but we try to keep prices low for the students. In any case, people think that's us because it's in our name, and it's kind of my fault because that's how we started. But today we do so much more, basically anything connected to locks. So key fobs, modern cars, you know, laser cut keys, programming the fob. We have all the machines, all of the computers, all of the access to the software that the dealers use, and of course, we'll do it quite a bit cheaper. So you lose one, you damage one, you only got one when you bought it, you want a second one. If it stopped working for whatever reason, and I know because I went there to get a key fob made for me, and it was great, easy. They're totally awesome to work with, and I saved money. Residential locks, business locks, anything that deals with locks, Ace Unlocks, 505-7545, or stop by 125 Airport Boulevard, right where Airport meets the train tracks. Plus, if you mention my name, Andrew McKay, you'll get 10% off.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
When you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe
good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3 and 1620. We have got the text line open if you'd like to shoot us a comment at 850-437-1620. And I have got on the line with me the Vice President of Pensacola City Council from District 1, Jennifer Breyer. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you doing?
Good morning, Walker. How are you? I'm good.
Doing good. I appreciate you calling in this morning, and you will basically be hanging up with us and heading down to City Hall for what I imagine will be a nice all-day-long city budget workshop that y'all are getting into.
It's an intense day. It's an intense day each year when we do this, and so it is an all-day affair.
Yeah, so that will be a long day for sure, but very important. And, you know, I know there's a lot of questions. We just had Representative Andrade on last half hour talking about property tax referendum coming at us in November. And there's, you know, maybe preparations that maybe we're trying to make in the budget for this year to get ready for if that happens. And but pretty much overall, the budget is basically flat from what I could tell. And just maybe some things that are going on different kind of underneath when you pull back the pages. And I know, you know, one thing is that, again, the general fund balance drawdown for the eighth consecutive year. And you've got a recurring expenditures policy that should be financed with only recurring revenues. And I know that was a big ordeal with drawing down from Pensacola Energy, and you had some questions surrounding that on how that was all going. But I guess really I should just let you know, what are some of the highlights of the budget and some of the concerns that you may have or things that you're excited to see in the budget as it's being presented today?
So as much as property tax concerns me and what we're facing going forward, I'm also very, very concerned about LOST, which will also be on the ballot in the fall. Yes. And that's incredibly important to local infrastructure and stuff. So I suppose that my biggest concern right now is shifting money from the general fund into LOST so there's not as much money available in LOST for the hardening, the sidewalks, the streets, those things that are so important to a functioning municipality. So those we're going to have to take a really hard look at. So, yes, the general fund is flat, is drawing down, but there are shifts from it into other accounts that I think we're going to have to look at very, very hard today.
Yeah. And I know you and I have also talked about before, and I've talked about when I've hosted the show as well, is that you've got, you know, your CRA areas in the urban core and downtown. You've got a West Side CRA, and you've got a smaller East Side CRA that all those properties pay property tax. And then a large share of their what would go into the general fund property tax revenue gets culled out of the general fund, or what would go to the general fund into those CRAs. But it does seem that CRA is making a move to take over at least some of those general fund responsibilities within the CRA. Like I know Parks, CRA is taking over some of the management of the parks. So that maybe helps a little bit out on the general fund side for parks and other areas of the city.
It's mandatory. It's mandatory that we, that if you're going to have a CRA, that the CRA handle as much of that stuff as possible. That, you know, frees up the general fund. I think I'm going to get these numbers wrong since this is before the meeting today, not after the meeting, but the CRAs take something like 22% of the general, you know, of the funding of the general fund. That's an amazing amount of money. And so if they were not handling their own parks and things like that, then it's incredibly troubling to the rest of the city to try to get the money spread among all the districts. So I am really proud of that move in the budget. That one's necessary for sure.
Yeah.
But we're moving, I think, $1.9 million of Parks and Rec budget is moving. I think that They're looking for the LOST to handle more on the employment side of people who are employed in centers who were built with LOST money. So there's a lot of shifts in money. There's money shifted from the gas tax to public works, all kinds of moving parts to try to make this happen in a year where not only are we facing the potential of the vote in November, but we just don't have the income we did last year.
Right, right. And, yeah, I think it showed that the general fund is down about $500,000, but then the very next thing it's got is, you know, roughly $3 million in expenses haven't actually been eliminated. They've just been shifted into LOST or the gas tax, CRA, and the enterprise funds.
Exactly.
And so trying to figure out how all of that balances with each other will be make today interesting, I would imagine.
Very interesting. And then on top of that, just I saw that you have Robert Bender on later today. I'm incredibly honored this year to be on the canvassing board.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that local election as well.
That's right. So we have been talking about elections, that it's early voting this week, that we've got the primary on Tuesday, on August 18th, and we do have Robert coming in later, but I did want to kind of, you know, peek behind the curtain and talk about what you do on the canvassing board. And what we'll do is we can get some, knock some commercials out, pay some bills real quick, and then when we come back, we will, as I know you were telling me a little bit about that, and it is just so interesting, just all of the, you know.
Fascinating. Absolutely
what
fascinating.
What happens behind the scenes and just making sure that everything is correct with our elections. So we'll get commercials, and we'll come back and hear about that with Jennifer Brayer.
Thank you so
Excellent.
Much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sitting in with us this morning. Just taking a quick look at our traffic. I-110 southbound at mile marker 5, showing an accident but no roadblock. And the accident at Berry Hill and Spencerfield has been moved off to the side. No issues there. It's 6:49, and we'll be back.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
Now, look, I know nobody really wants to think about schoolwork during the summer. That's very understandable. Totally understand that. But did you know that your student, who might be doing okay at math or maybe is struggling at math, is going to lose generally on average around 2 months worth of skills just by not practicing math over the summer? Yeah, they call it the summer slide, and 50% of students lose 2 or more months worth of skills, meaning that when they go back to school in, you know, August or September, they go back not as a May math student, but as a March math student. Well, you can prevent that. Instead of falling behind, you can leap ahead, look ahead, get ready, catch up, keep up, and go to Mathnasium. You know, I'm big fans of the Mathnasium program. Our dear friends own it. My son taught there for a year. I am a big believer in the usefulness of good math education. And unfortunately, we don't have enough of it in Escambia County. We need more. Well, guess what? Mathnasium can help. There's a totally free assessment. That's the starting point. You just kind of find out what your student has and knows and maybe what they don't know. And then you figure out a plan to address that and prepare them even for next year and get ahead on the things that they might be learning and to make sure they've got the stuff that they need in order to stay where they should be. Mathnasium, located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. Hey, we've got kind of a new advertiser.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
4 years ago, Carrie Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Carrie steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Carrie alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Carrie continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Carrie Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
You ever look at your bank account and think, okay, that could be better? Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Had to wait for that part to get there. Good morning, Pensacola. Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay, and we have City Councilwoman Jennifer Breyer on the line with us. We were talking about the big budget hearing for the city that's coming up today at 9 o'clock a.m. and hopefully will not go till 9 o'clock p.m., Jennifer, for your sake.
Let's hope that.
But I did want to talk about, it is early voting week. We have a primary election next Tuesday on the 18th, and voting is underway. And you are serving on the canvassing board for the election. So some people maybe have heard of that. Some people maybe have not heard of that. So what is the canvassing board? And tell us a little bit about what your responsibilities are surrounding that and what you've seen kind of behind the curtains of the election, if you will.
So we've been meeting weekly. We meet tomorrow and Friday. So we've been putting the ballots through the machines. We're not counting actually who's voting for what at this point, but we're making sure that the ballots are getting read properly. We put all the machines through a test a couple weeks ago with ballots that we knew the outcome of to make sure they're reading everything correctly. We're going through signatures and verifying signatures match ballots that were mailed in, making sure that people don't overvote and undervote. So if they've accidentally circled, you know, more than one thing, or if there's an undervote is just that. They don't vote for a particular topic, and that's fine. But when there's an overvote, that ballot gets kicked out, and we have to, you know, take a look at it and see if it was an accident, if it was an errant mark, or if they truly voted for multiple people in one thing. So it's really doing all the work behind the scenes to make sure that the election is safe, secure, and that the people's choices are protected. So it's really an amazing process. It's a complete honor to be on the board this year. There's three of us that are the canvassing board, and then we've got the, you know, all the people helping and working behind the scenes with us, but we sign off on the election. And honestly, it's kind of interesting because people get concerned about national elections, but they're not so concerned about, you know, the legitimacy of local elections, but it's really critical to understand that all elections are local. Everything you vote on is handled with your local supervisor of elections and the canvassing board that is appointed at that time. So all elections are local, if you think of it that way. And we do, we're doing everything we can to make sure that everyone's vote is exactly what they intended.
Right. And I know, you know, you like you said, you go through these audits where you're all, you know, they're picking, you know, out of a hat, a certain number of machines that need to be tested.
20% of the machines. So we randomly pick the machines. We put, you know, forward through them ballots that we know the outcome of.
Right. Like previously, fake so ballots that are, you
exactly,
know.
Exactly.
Right, that are fake pre-filled. You know what the answer should be. And, yeah.
And exactly. And then make sure that the machines are all running on par. And so that was done before any votes were counted. So we started that. That was our first week of canvassing, was to go in and make sure all the machines are working appropriately. So it is an amazing process. I had to certify in canvassing rules for the state of Florida. I had to certify in signature recognition. It's really been quite an interesting summer getting ready for this, and it's amazing. So honestly, I wish that everyone had this exposure because you would have so much more, everybody would have so much confidence in the vote because there is so much work done to ensure it and to make sure that the people's wishes are recorded.
Right. And that's awesome to hear, and just kind of something that, you know, people might hear of a canvassing board but really never understand what it is or what's happening or what that even means. And so I think it's important to hear that, and just all of those kind of checks and audits and making sure that everything's correct before anything really even gets started, and then going back through to ensure that what you're getting in is correct or not correct. And even the supervisor's office, I think at times, does reach out to a voter if they've mailed something in, if they've got...
Oh, if they mailed it in and there's something wrong with that envelope, or if there's something, they reach out and offer the voter an opportunity to secure that ballot so that it is counted.
That's
great. I mean, everything that can be done is being done to ensure the voters' wishes are upheld.
Well, that's awesome to hear. Well, let's make sure everybody gets out and goes and votes. Jennifer, thank you so much. Good luck with the budget hearing today.
Thank you, Walker, and you have a great day.
You too.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The polls are just opening in three more states.